Great to have you here this morning. How about you turn to three people and tell them you look ravishing this morning. You look ravishing. You look ravishing. I don't actually know what the Oxford definition of the word ravishing is, so if it's slightly inappropriate, I highly apologize right now. You look ravishing, Peter. It's good to be here at Energizer Church. Woo! And a massive welcome to our Derwent Valley campus who are linking in right now. We are so glad that you're here with us, and we hope and pray that the weather is wonderful in the Derwent Valley, that you're having a great time fellowshipping and worshipping the same Jesus that we're worshipping down here in Bellarive. Now, I've got a sermon titled today, God's Kingdom Purpose for Your Life. God's Kingdom Purpose for Your Life. Let me encourage you to turn to the person next to you and say, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Whether you know it or not, God has a purpose for your life. Whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, God has a purpose for your life. Whether you've grown up in a Christian family or you've grown far away from Christ, God has a purpose for your life. As we heard, we've got a few things coming up. As you heard from Lizzie, who shared just before, we have pop-up festival occurring in a few weeks' time over in the Bridgewater area. It's going to be a brilliant opportunity to actually share the good news of Jesus Christ to a whole community where so many people don't know Jesus, where we can articulate it and present the gospel in such a way that it will be engaging, that it will draw people from the community in. And as we heard, hopefully leave a long-lasting impact because we'll be able to build connections and relationships through programs like Alpha and help share the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, with these people. So please be praying for Pop-Up Church. As you heard, we've got Jen Cooper tonight. Actually, Jen, am I allowed to share this story with Jen's husband? Yeah. Okay. So before Jen was a... So bear with me with this. But before Jen was a credentialed minister in our movement, she was a little bit more rough around the edges. For those who know Jen, maybe you think she's still slightly rough around the edges. But what happened was we had Youth Alive Conference or Youth Alive Camp coming up about 10 years ago. And Jen was involved in youth ministry at that time. So Jen Grubb and Jen Cooper, who's speaking here tonight, Jen Cooper's, they made a bet that, it's horrible. Anyway, now it's getting really bad because it sounds like there's gambling involved in it. But they had this bet that Jen Cooper's husband had this wonderful array of dreadlocks, like a wonderful array of dreadlocks, so hanging all over his head, just flopping around like a load of sausages flopping around everywhere. And Jen Grubb thought it would be a good thing to challenge and say to Jen Cooper, hey, I'm going to steal one of your husband's dreadlocks. Steal at a Youth Alive conference, a Youth Alive camp. I'm going to get one of them. So we had this massive activity. There was like tribal wars, and they had this giant inflatable rubber ball that was about this big. It was about as tall as me. And they had two teams, and each team had to try to force the ball to the other side. Now, Jen Grubb was on one team, and Jen Cooper's husband, Matt, was on the other team. Jen Grubb thought it would be a great idea just to reach across, grab one of his dreadlocks, and rip it out of his head with chunks of flesh. There was skin in there. I saw the skin. It was... For me, that was one of the most memorable things about ever going to a Youth Alive camp that I've ever had. So please register your child today for Youth Alive Camp 2017. Jen Grubb isn't coming, so your children are safe. So anyway, I just thought I would share that because it was one of the most amusing things that I've ever seen in youth ministry ever. And I think you probably need to come back tonight to talk to Jen Cooper to find the whole story. But today, as I said, I want to talk about a message called God's Kingdom Purpose for Your Life. Now, Pastor Dave last week was sharing about Joshua and how Joshua was commissioned. He was given the position to take possession of the land that had been promised to Moses. And they had been a tribe of people that had been wandering in the wilderness. So he knew all about wandering. He knew all about the wilderness. But he didn't know how to take possession of the land. So Pastor Dave is taking us on this journey. And I'm taking it back just a couple of steps in the generational lineage of Joshua. And heading back to a guy named Abraham. So I'm going a bit further back. So I want to share about Abraham. Because Abraham had a similar situation that was brought upon his life when God turned up in his life. Do you know when God turns up in your life, things can change? Everything can change with a God encounter. You can be going through the roughest season of your life, but one encounter with God can fill that moment with hope, fill that situation with the transformation and power of the Holy Spirit into your life that can actually bring about generational change. An encounter with God can change everything. And that's what happened with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to have it up on the screen, so if you want to, let me encourage you, take notes. Notes are always handy to reflect on later. But we're picking up this story from Genesis chapter 12. It says this. Actually, before I read this scripture, I'm just going to pray. I just want to make sure our hearts are prepared to hear what God wants to say through this passage of Scripture for each and every single one of us. So people in the Derwent Valley, let's pray together. God, we thank you so much that your word is living and active. Right now, in this place, in this moment, God, we open up our hearts to you. We ask Jesus, speak to us with clarity. Speak to us in power. Speak to us with your authority and truth. Straight to our hearts and straight to our lives. Jesus, we thank you so much that you want to do great things in our lives, that you have a kingdom purpose for every single one of us. And we ask that you would help continue to bring that to fruition in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So, here we pick up the story about Abraham, who at the time actually had a different name. He actually had, he went through the legal documentation of name changing like we do have here in Australia. Actually, it was a little bit different. God just said, I'm changing your name. But he had this name, Abram, which meant exalted father. So Abram was there, and it says this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the people on earth will be blessed, look at this word, through you. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, just as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. You know, sometimes we can almost write ourselves off because of a different season of life. You can think, I'm too old for this. Feeling like the spirit of Danny Glover's upon me. Too old for this. Sometimes you can feel like you're not the person that God could use because your situation, your circumstance, your history, or insert blank here, disqualifies you from the qualification that God has for you. Do you know if God said it, you can see it? If God has said, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation. If God says, I'm going to make you fruitful and multiply. If God says, you can see healing in your body. If God said, I'm going to provide. If God said, salvation is coming. Then you can see it. God is faithful to his promises. And sometimes we disqualify ourselves from the promises that God has qualified us for through faith and through Jesus. It says this. In verse 5, he took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all his possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there, verse 6. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Called on the name of the Lord. So I've got 3 points for us today for this message that I've titled God's Kingdom Purpose for Your Life. And my first one is this. In 2018, I want you to remember, if you go, God will show. If you go, God will show. At the start of it, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. You know, God doesn't want us to be stationary, stagnant Christians, but faith-filled followers of Jesus Christ. God promised Abram an incredible blessing. He promised him that he would make his name great. He promised that he would make him a nation of greatness. He promised him that there'd be blessing in his life to go through his life. It's incredible the promise that was on Abraham's life. But God didn't actually show all the details of that until Abram made the decision that I will go on a word. I will go on what I've been shown. I will go not when I know every single detail to how it's going to work, how it's going to come about, but I'm going to go on the word that God has spoken to me. And I want to encourage each and every single one of us. I believe there are people sitting here in this congregation that you know God has called you to different things. To share the good news of Jesus to family and friends. To pray for healing in people, in people's lives that are in your world. To be someone that brings provision to people that are in poverty. To be someone who brings hope to people that are feeling hopeless. To be someone that brings light to people that are feeling like they're in darkness. And you know that God has spoken to you. You know that God has given you a word to say, hey, you are the person that I've commissioned. I haven't asked Reinhard Bonnke to come all the way from Africa to come and speak to this person. I've called you to do that. And you know it. But sometimes we can get this paralysis from trying to micro-analyze every aspect of how it's going to work. And I'm going to encourage you, in 2018, I heard Brian Houston once say, paralysis analysis, or analysis paralysis, one of the ways. He said it one way or the other. Don't know what happened there. But I want to encourage you, if God has spoken a word, and it's in line with his word, then take a step on that word. Take a step of faith. You don't need to know all the details for God to do something incredible in your life in 2018. All you need is just a little bit of faith, size of a mustard seed, and a heart that's obedient to obey the call of God that is on your life. Because God has a kingdom purpose for each and every single one of us. For example, you know, God has promised us, you know, in the same way that Abram had been promised these great things, do you know that God has promised us lots of great things? He says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover in the book of James. It says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, by his body broken we're made whole, by his stripes we are healed. You know, there's a promise of healing in the Bible. But so often we can know the promise but then don't take a step onto the obedience of believing God for that promise to come to fruition. Now, it was only just last Sunday at our night service, we had Jane who's here, she had this shooting pains in her hand. This pain was just continually just causing her pain. That's what pain normally does, causes you pain. There you go. There's a special word for the Derwent Valley crew this morning. Pain causes pain. Who would have known it? But anyway, she was experiencing pain, but then she, at the end of the service, she took a step of faith and said, hey, Dan, can we pray for this? You know, she didn't just leave it as head knowledge, but then she brought it to a place where her heart believed it. And her feet then took her to a place where she could then believe for healing. And in that moment, we prayed for her hand and the shooting pain that she was experiencing disappeared in Jesus' name. Somebody give Jesus some praise for that. God wants to see his promises fulfilled in our lives and through our lives. But it's on the back of steps of faith. Not when we know how it's all going to work, but when we actually choose to take a step of obedience. God's got a kingdom purpose for your life in 2018. And if you go, God will show. You know, that's just one example. For another example, for me personally, I was living up in New Norfolk for the last 8 years. Absolutely loved it. I love the Derwent Valley. It's an absolute stunning place, especially this time of year. Going for swims in the river. We've got the Eckle Clan and the Swift Clan up in the valley today. Going wakeboarding and kneeboarding and skiing and other boarding and this boarding and that boarding. You know, it's a beautiful place to be. But I felt called to move from there to come back down into the Eastern Shore, the Promised Land. joking. But like I grew up in Belle Reve. I've got my heart. This feels like my home here in Belle Reve. But I felt with pastoring the night service that living 40 minutes away from the service that I'm meant to be pastoring is actually quite challenging to then say, hey, after service, do you want to come up for a barbecue? Most people would be like, no. And I was just like, I don't know why. You know, you've only got to go to work in the morning. It's only, you know, you finish service at 7 o'clock, drive up there at 7:40, have dinner. You've still got kids, that's okay. You know, you'd be back home, back in Lauderdale by like 10:30. Like, what's the problem? Yeah, exactly. Easy for me to say because I'm not married and don't have kids. But not easy for other people. I liked how the light, ooh, there we go, that's cool. The light's going up and down. Then there was light and the light was good. And for me, I felt like that season had run its course and it was time for me to move down here. And in the process, I was praying, God, I want a house on the Eastern Shore. I want somewhere that I could open up the home and make it hospitable for both families, for youth, for young adults, for prayer and worship nights and all these different things. And I was like, God, I'm believing for this. I want to see this take fruition in my life. I want to receive a house that's going to tick all these boxes. And on the journey to actually getting the house that I've moved into, which I actually only received because I was preaching here about 4 months ago and Heather King took a step of faith and said, hey, Dan, you should knock on the neighbor's door. I think they're going to sell their house. So I live pretty much next door to Heather King and Rob King, which is wonderful. You know, the first day I moved in, they brought me around tacos and they weren't just like, you know, basic tacos. They're like good tacos. Like taco connoisseurs will know the difference. Like this had avocado. Favor. Hashtag favor. Like that is the favor of the Lord, avocado. You know, my first house, I had to mortgage to buy some avocados. Like, they're so expensive. But this is a very convoluted way to say that I believe that God provided for my every need for this property. I compromised on the way and I was like, you know what, I'll move to Glenorchy because I saw a really nice house over there at a cheap price. And I went, I'm going to have it. And I got all the finances all agreed upon, everything all sorted. And they're like, yep, we're coming around to sign the document. And in the 10 minutes that it was going to take for them to travel from where they were to where I was, someone else called up this same person and offered them 10 grand more. And I couldn't pay that. So I lost out on that opportunity. But for me, that was going to be a compromise to what I'd asked God for in the first place. And it's amazing how God will lead you up to a certain place and then he'll close the door to say, what are you doing? You asked for this. I'm not going to give you something else. You asked for a loaf of bread. I'm not going to give you a snake. Not that people live in Glenorchy. It's not a snake. That's a bad example. But, you know, I'd asked for something and then I was going to compromise on what I'd asked for. And God was like, no, I've got something better for you. So know that if you ever come to the night service, which most of you do on quite regularly, you're more than welcome to come over for a bite to eat at some stage afterwards as well. I like to think I cook up pretty good nachos. You know, Heather King is the taco queen, and I'm the nacho king. So if you want to come around for nachos, you're welcome to. Just I'll just get my diary out at the end of the service, and we will book it up for all of 2018 and 19. Moving on. So firstly, God has a kingdom purpose for your life, and I want to encourage you, if you go, God will show. If you take that step of faith, God will show you how it's going to take place, how it's going to manifest in your life. If you go out and step out and believe for salvation for friends and family in your world, if you step out for people in your workplace that you know that are far from Jesus, God will show you how to lead them to a place where they can receive Jesus for themselves. You know, it might not give you the entire strategy from the outset, but if you take steps of obedience following his word, he will show it on the way. If you're believing for provision to take, you know, maybe for a new house or for a new work position or something, if you keep on trusting God, keep on bringing it back to God, saying, God, I need you to move. I assure you,
as you place your trust not upon your own understanding, but lean on Him, He'll make your path straight. He has an incredible way of doing that. So if you go, I'll show. That is the first point. Point number two. Everyone say point number two. To bless you and to bless through you. To bless you and to bless through you. Nobody sneezed. Don't worry. I'm not saying bless you. That was meant to be a joke. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that pity laughter. I appreciate it. I could actually hear the New Norfolk congregation laughing louder than that. So, but to bless you and bless through you, we read this passage of Scripture, and in verse 3 it says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Will be blessed through you. You know, one of the most disappointing things is something on display but doesn't then back it up with the content that it displays. I'm going to strike you down. He was just dissing my football team. I'll lay hands on you later. No. When I went to Japan, I went to this place. It was pretty incredible. But there was this place that was like vending machine world. And it was like thousands of vending machines. And people would go in there and there'd be a vending machine for this, a vending machine for that, a vending machine for this, a vending machine for that, a vending machine for this, a vending machine. There was thousands. This was like a mall of vending machines. Go to Japan. Check it out. It's awesome. But in Japan, they were pretty good. Like, I went there and I was like, I want to try this random sushi out of a vending machine. I wouldn't recommend doing that in Australia, but in Japan, I would trust it because the sushi connoisseurs. I don't know how long a sushi in a Australian vending machine would sit there for. So I'm saying, for your health benefits, please do not eat sushi out of a Australian vending machine. If you ever see one, please call me, take a photo of it, and put it on Facebook. But over there, I trusted it. And it dished up what it said, and it was really, really good. But then on the other hand, I play cricket at times. Severely hurt myself on Wednesday trying to bowl. Still walking around and stuff. Anyway, that wasn't meant to be a pity thing. But at one of the locations that we went to go play cricket at once, they had a vending machine there. And I thought to myself, you know what? I've just been playing. I've been running around in the field. That vending machine says there's thirst-quenching solo. Thirst-quenching solo. On the actual machine, it says thirst-quenching solo. So I put my money in there, press the button, and nothing came out. nothing came out. I pressed it again. I didn't understand what was going on. No can was falling from this machine. I thought, you know what? I've seen with this sound desk at times, if you hit it, it works. So we're taking up an offering for our sound desk at the end of the service. No, joking. But I was like, maybe if I hit it, the solo will come out. Smacked it on the side a couple of times. Got my karate skills out from a child. Actually, I didn't actually kick a vending machine. That's a poetic license. I hit it a couple of times, and no solo came out. That's the part I wanted sympathy for. Not for me seriously hurting my knee, but for not getting a solo can when I was dehydrated. But, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can be a bit like that solo, that vending machine. We can have a display saying that I'm a Christian and in me should be the hope of the world. In me should be healing. In me should be faith. In me should be love. In me should be kindness. In me should be blessing. For those that come and try to find life and life in abundance in me and through me. Because in me, if I'm in Christ, should be an overflowing well of living water found through the Holy Spirit that can actually, people can taste it and see that God is good. You know, God doesn't just want to bless you so that you can be a vending machine that has display but has nothing in it. God wants to bless you so we can bless people through you. We're going to talk to domestic services after the service for Pastor Jen. Oh, no, it's your children. That's, yes, yeah, Jasper. No, that's because you don't feed them. Yeah. So, I want to encourage you. In the same way, like, I used to have a coffee machine at my house at New Norfolk. It stopped working, but I left it in my kitchen. Like, it would sit there in the corner, looking like it could do all the things that I needed it to do to provide me with that delicious beverage, which is coffee. But it would just sit there because I couldn't actually use it because the machine was stuffed. And one day I decided to throw it out like any sane person would do when you have something that doesn't work anymore. But I think sometimes we can have the display of being a Christian. We can have the display of in Christ, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if Christ is in me and people come to me and they're in need and in a place of desperation, then the place that they should go is to the church. They should go to Christians and actually seek out support. When someone's stuck for wisdom, you know, who should they turn to? They should turn to the person they threw in jail because he's articulating and helping unpack dreams because he's hearing from God. Like that, who's that guy in the Bible? Does anyone know the person I'm talking about? Joseph, yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard there's a Christian dude, or I heard there's this guy that hears from God in jail. Let's get him and find out what he says, what he thinks about this situation. You know, our bosses, our colleagues, our wives, our husbands, our family, people in our world should turn to us if we have the hope of the world living inside of us. If Jesus Christ is alive in us, then there should be something that is attractive for people to actually draw them to a place like I was, desperate and thirsty in the hot sun, hoping for a can of Solo from the machine. But I want to encourage you that God has blessed you to bless through you in 2018. That's His kingdom purpose for your life. Not so that you can be a dam of blessing, so that you can be streams of living water to the people in your world. Not so that you can become stagnant and stationary, but so you can overflow with the joy of the Lord. So you can overflow with the peace of the Lord into people that are anxious, into people that are hurting, into people that are desperate for something more than what the world can dish up, because the world is temporary. The flesh will never be satisfied with what is temporary. It's only what the Spirit of God, the supernatural, the eternal, that can satisfy a soul for eternity. The temporary things never will. It's only the eternal things that will satisfy your soul for eternity. Relationship in Jesus and with Jesus. You know, God wants to bless you and bless through you in 2018. You know, I could go on some more examples, but for the sake of time, I want to jump to the last one. And that's this. God's got a kingdom purpose for your life. Point number three. Build an altar to altar. Build an altar to altar. Remember this in 2018. To build an altar to altar. It says in verse, where are we? In verse 8. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. You know, we're at the start of 2018. And generally, the start of a year, for most people, is a good opportunity to hit a bit of a reset button on your life, to make some resolutions. Do we have any people that have made a couple of resolutions here today? No one. Wow, yeah, that's incredible. So no one made any... I reckon that's a first. Nobody made any resolutions for 2018. Oh, okay, I see that hand. So there is a few people that have. I'm just stating, like, generally in our society, lots of people will get to the end of the year and they're like, next year, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to achieve. I'm going to have a body like Zac Efron by March. You don't know? No? What? Okay, I have a body like Hugh Jackman from Wolverine, but I'll still dance and sing like Hugh Jackman from The Greatest Showman. You know, I'll be so full of joy, but I'll be ripped whilst I'm doing it. and then you generally get to about June, and you realize, Things haven't changed. Why hasn't it changed? Oh my gosh, it's never going to change. You know, we can get this place of like despair and just feeling like, oh, well, this is my lot in life. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. I'll never look like Wolverine. Que sera, sera. You know, like, that's the 2018 edition of the song. But the reality is, like, we can set these resolutions in place, but unless we actually set patterns in place to actually outwork the resolutions, they'll fall flat on their face at some stage throughout the year. You know, the root word of disciple is discipline. You know, if you profess to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then what the foundation of that word is the word discipline. And I want to encourage you that as Christians, we should, I'm not saying we are, because I know that I'm not at times, we should be more disciplined than almost anyone else in the world. Because we've got the same power that rose Christ from the grave living inside of us. And if we have a determination and we know what we're saved from and what we're saved for and we know that what we're going to, our heart's desire should be like, how can I save everyone I know so they can experience the joy that I have, the peace that I have, the freedom that I have, and then also get to experience that in eternity. So once you understand that, you understand just how blessed and fortunate we are to know Jesus. It should move us to a radical place of change where we go, what can I do to help others know him too? And not just a heart desire, but then also using what God's given us, which is a brain, to create strategic practices and platforms to actually say, how can I do this more effectively? How can I equip people to walk and live a life long-term and become a mature follower of Jesus Christ? You know, that should be part of the parcel. But to alter, we need to sometimes build an altar. And it's incredible. All through the Old Testament, I don't know how many times it's in there. You have to ask Peter Swift later. But all through the Old Testament, you find these people of faith doing what? Building altars. Building altars. They encounter God, and then they build an altar. They encounter God, then they build an altar. They encounter God, and then they build an altar. And a lot of the time when they built the altar, it was before they'd actually received the promise. They'd received a promise in their encounter from God, and then they decide to sacrifice something. What an altar is, what an altar represents, is a place of sacrifice and worship and acknowledging and resetting the sovereignty of God in their lives in that place. That's what an altar was there for. That's why they would build it, because they would all of a sudden encounter God and they'd be like, I need to make sure that I live a life worthy of the encounter that I've just experienced. Knowing what God has promised, I'm going to live a life that's different. I'm going to alter my ways and live a life of faith rather than living a life of the flesh. You know, so they would build these altars all through the Old Testament. Then you get to the New Testament. Jesus turns up on the scene. And you'll actually recognize that all through the New Testament, they don't build any altars. It's like an altar famine. They alter their ways. If you can come up with a better altar pun than that, then I'd like an alternate. I can't think of anything. Anyway, but there's an altar famine. There's no more altar building. Do you know why there's no more altar building? Because the altar had come in the form of Jesus Christ. The altar had come in flesh, in the form of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They didn't need to build altars anymore because the altar was there with them. It says in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, 6 to 10. Well, it might be Hebrews 13. I've got it written here, but I think I might have actually put the wrong one down there. But 6 to 10, it says this. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God. As is written about me in the scripture, this is talking about Jesus. First, Christ said, you do not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burn offerings or other offerings for sin. You are not pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We don't need to build altars anymore out of temporary things, because what they built them out of was like rock and wood and stuff like that. We can go to the eternal altar of Jesus Christ. In any area of your life where it's not aligning to the life of faith that God has called you to, where the disciplines are not living to the expectations or to the commandments of Christ, you can actually bring that area of life to Jesus. You can say, God, my mindset is full of fear. So I bring my fear to you, my fear and my insecurities to you, God. You can pray this in your own place. You know, read through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount. It talks all about how to pray. You can check that out. But you can go to God with that fear and insecurity and say, God, I thank you that it says in your word that perfect love casts out fear. So I'm asking for your perfect love to flood through my life, flood through the insecurities, flood through the anxieties. I need your perfect love. I thank you that you are faithful to your promise. God, I have no peace. I'm uneasy. And I keep on walking around with uneasiness every step that I take. Do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in all things by prayer and petition, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know, let me encourage you. Any time where you're finding the promise of God is not found in your life, start to declare God's word. Bring it to Jesus. Allow him to be the altar of transformation in your life. The altar where you start to experience the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and the promises of God. Not so that you can be a dam of these promises, but so you can be a well of living water, a stream of life to the people in your world, because God's got a purpose for you in 2018 to bless you and to bless through you. He's got a purpose in your life to bring those areas and allow God to alter those areas through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. God's got a purpose for you in 2018. He wants you to take a step of faith, and then he'll show you the way. God's got a purpose for your life. I just want to ask every person to close their eyes and bow their heads, and the band to come up with me. God's got a purpose for your life, and it begins with Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. It says in the word that he gave his life so that we could have life and life to the full, life in abundance. Living a life with Jesus doesn't mean the absence of trials. If anything, he actually promises that we will have trials. But beyond that, he also promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. That we can see the supernatural occur in our lives. Divine healing, divine provision, breakthrough, miracles. And we can have the assurance, the blessed assurance of knowing that when we step from this temporary existence that we find ourselves in right here and now, we won't step into condemnation, but we'll step into the compassionate arms of a God who loves us through Jesus Christ. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and eye closed right here, right now, God has a purpose for your life. And that starts with Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to live a life where he is your closest friend, where he is the Lord of your life, where he is ever present. You don't have to walk this journey alone, because Jesus loves you. He died for you. He sent his spirit to abide in you. God has a purpose for your life in 2018, and it starts with Jesus. If you know that you've started 2018 without Jesus at the wheel of your life, not as the Lord of your life, then right here and now, I want to lead you in a prayer where you give Jesus the authority to be Lord and Savior of your life. It's the greatest prayer. It's the greatest thing you can ever do. It's the best thing you can ever do. And in this moment of reflection, with every eye closed, with every head bowed, if you know in your heart, maybe it's skipping a couple of beats, that you've started this year without Jesus at the helm, without Jesus at the wheel, without Jesus as your Lord, then I want to lead you in a prayer. Anything that doesn't begin with God will end in disappointment, friend. So why not begin 2018 with God as Lord of your life? If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm the only one that's going to say it, because I want to lead you in a prayer. A prayer to reset the sovereignty of God's lordship over your life. A prayer to accept Him as your Savior. If that is you, I just want you to just give me a wave. Say, Dan, I need to pray that prayer. Please lead me in that prayer. I've been trying to do it in my own strength, God. I know that I can't do it in my own strength anymore. That is you. Just raise your hand to say, Dan, please lead us in this prayer.